Hello, sports fans, and welcome to Ball Games and Beyond, a brand new video and audio podcast brought to you by SportsNot.com. I am your host, Evan Grote, and you can follow me on X at egrote5. Please do me a favor and make sure you go out there and follow and subscribe to the SportsNot YouTube channel. And make sure you also click the notifications bell so that anytime there's a new episode, you don't miss it. As of now, we are not available on any of the major podcasting platforms, but we are working to make that happen in the next couple of weeks. So make sure you are staying tuned with me for more information on that. Now, for a little bit about the show, Ball Games and Beyond is a podcast where we will discuss prominent headlines and trending stories in the world of sports. We will cover all sports, whether that is the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, PGA, or even college sports. No rock will be left unturned on this show, and no story will be too controversial to talk about. Each week, we will also look to bring in a guest who will join us and help us dig deeper into the discussion and bring their expert opinion to the table as well. So that is a brief rundown of the show and what you can expect from me. And with that being said, let's get it started now. Our show topic for this week is court storming in college basketball. And has it gone too far? Is the topic of court storming, is it at a crossroads? And in the next segment of the show, we will be joined by our guest this week, Steve Wiseman, who is a Duke basketball beat writer for the Raleigh News and Observer. And he's been covering the team for a long time now. So he's very close to the situation, and he will have a lot of great insight for us. If you have not yet heard about the incident involving Duke forward Kyle Filipowski, then maybe you've been living under a rock, because you can't escape it. Everywhere you turn, whether that's sports talk radio or the newspaper or X, the story has completely dominated the sports landscape in recent days and has become a really controversial and divisive topic as well. So my question to you is, has court storming gone too far? Should something be done about it? What changes should be made? And if so, what should they be? Or do you think that some people are just overreacting? Those are some of the questions that have been debated in the early parts of this week. And you know, we all know that court storming is a major part of the fabric in college basketball. But is there a chance that you think the line was crossed with what we saw this past weekend at Wake Forest, when a Demon Deacons fan was celebrating the 83-79 win by storming the court and ran into and appeared to have banged knees with Kyle Filipowski, who had to be helped off the court? Was the line crossed there? It does seem that we are seeing more and more of this type of thing happen in college basketball in recent years. And in fact, I was doing some reading on the topic this week, and I came across an article on ESPN. And there was a lot of good information in that article. And one of the things that the article mentioned that I thought was very interesting is that when you talk about a team like Purdue, and Zach Edey, who is the reigning college basketball player of the year, who has a really good chance to win it again this year, back-to-back college football basketball players of the year awards. In the last three seasons, Purdue has lost 11 road games. And of those 11 road losses, 10 of those games resulted in a court storming. So this is something that is affecting certain teams, but not all teams, okay? And I think what's interesting about this debate is the fact that, yes, this is an NCAA issue, but it's one that really only affects certain teams a lot more than others. And the teams that I'm talking about here are your Blue Bloods, your Dukes, your Kansas, North Carolinas, as well as some teams that may be high-ranked but not necessarily a Blue Blood, like a Purdue. There's a small portion of teams that this issue affects. And, you know, I think that's part of the reason why the NCAA has been a little bit delayed in getting something done to do a better job of protecting their player safety as well as coaches and officials. If it was affecting a larger number of teams throughout the NCAA, then I think they would have moved on this a little bit sooner than what we have seen in some of the changes that have been made from a conference basis and whatnot. Anyways, I'm going to let you make up your mind on this debate. I've set the table for you, and I've hopefully have given you a couple of things to think about. What we're going to do right now is I'm going to step aside for a quick break, and when I return, we're going to welcome in our guest this week, Steve Wiseman, and he's going to give you some of his thoughts on the issue of court storming and his perspective from someone who covers the beat on the Duke basketball team on a daily basis. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here on Ball Games and Beyond with Evan Grote. Welcome back to Ball Games and Beyond, and now we welcome in our guest this week for this week's show. Steve Wiseman joins us, and Steve is a Duke basketball beat writer for the Raleigh News and Observer, and you can follow Steve on X at SteveWisemanNC, so I encourage you to go out there and do that. He's been all over this court-storming incident that occurred over the weekend at Wake Forest along with Duke involving Kyle Filipowski, and we're having him on here to give us some of his perspective, more so from a Duke perspective, but also to get some of his thoughts on the topic of court storming. And as well, I do want to talk a little Duke basketball with you before I get you out of here. So let's first start with some of the specifics on Kyle Filipowski. What is the latest that you have for us with his injury and his status for Duke's game against Louisville on Wednesday night?
Yeah, there's a chance he might play. This is not a serious injury that's going to keep him out for an extended period of time. So it looked a lot worse in the moment than it has turned out to be, which is a good thing. I think he just kind of banged knees. It looked like he banged knees with the fan. And as we know, that could be painful, bruised knee. I know he was at practice on Monday, and Coach Shire said he wasn't 100%. He's just not himself yet. So we'll wait and see. He said that he's hoping for Wednesday, but if not, they play Saturday again against Virginia. So, but anyway, it's not going to be a long-term issue, which is a good thing.
Well, that's good to hear. Certainly, things could have been a lot worse based on what we initially saw there on TV. So it's good to hear that he'll be back soon, hopefully, for the Duke Blue Devils. Now, before we get into the more specifics on court storming, which was the main topic of the show this week, I just want to get a quick update on the season thus far for Duke basketball. I know they are currently 21-6, 12-4 in conference play. They're still trailing rival North Carolina by a game and a half with four games left to play. And I know ultimately Duke's success is measured by how far they go in postseason play. But as of right now, how are Duke players and coaches feeling about themselves as we approach the month of March?
Yeah, they feel like they've progressed the way they wanted to. Even though they just lost the game to Wake Forest on the road, it was a tough game. It was a great basketball game, which is sad because all that happened afterwards, it kind of got lost, but it was a tremendous game right down to the wire, to sold out arena, all that. So, but even though they lost that game, they feel better about the way they played in that game as opposed to the earlier loss they had this month against UNC when they lost by 9 over in Chapel Hill. And even going back to November when they lost a road game by 8 to Arkansas down there in Fayetteville. And they didn't feel like they fought the right way. They didn't feel like they were connected enough on defense. A lot of things they just didn't like about the way they approached that game in both those games. But Wake Forest, they feel like they did. Even though they lost the game, Wake Forest came out and hit the first 6 shots in the second half. Duke fought back and took a 4-point lead. So they liked the fight they showed, whereas against Carolina, they were behind the whole second half. They never were able to get any closer than 7 or 8 points. So they liked the way they protect the ball. They're a very tough team to turn over. They shoot the ball well from 3-point. There's some questions on defense, which they need to kind of clean up if they're going to go deep into March. But they're in a position to do that, frankly. They've got a pretty good team, and they're going to be a tough out next month.
You know, Steve, I want to shift our conversation now to this topic of court storming. It's been dominating sports talk all weekend and into the early parts of this week. I think this is a really interesting topic because, when you look at a big picture, yes, this is an NCAA issue that they have on their hands here. But if you look a little bit closer, this isn't an issue that really affects all teams equally. and I'm not picking on a lot of the lower level teams that are in the Power Five conferences, but this is not an issue that a team like a Boston College or an Arizona State or a BYU, they're not teams that walk around with bullseyes on their back. This is a problem that affects blue bloods or teams that are in the, you know, upper echelon of the rankings. I was just talking earlier in the show. I had some stats that I was reading. I saw them on ESPN. There was an article, and they were talking about Purdue, who of course, has been one of the better teams in the country in the last few years with Zach Edey. In the last three seasons, Zach Edey and the Purdue Boilermakers have lost 11 road games, and 10 of those road games, or 10 of those 11 losses, I should say, there was a court storming incident. So again, this is not a problem that is affecting all teams throughout college basketball. So, and when I think about the incident that involves Duke here, which we just saw recently, Duke is such a polarizing program. It seems like you either love Duke basketball or you hate Duke basketball. And I think there's many people out there that feel maybe a lack of sympathy for a team like Duke. You know, they feel, oh, this is big bad Duke, and you know, they're sore losers, and they're complaining about the court storming. So I do think there's a little bit of that going on. I'd like to get some of your thoughts on that.
That is a huge factor. The last thing you mentioned there, that you know, that they win enough. When they lose, they should be able to take whatever happens to them. You know, so I get where that's coming from, and yeah, about the number of court stormings. I've been on this beat since 2010, and every time Duke's lost on the road in a true road environment, not neutral road environment, there's been a court storm, except for at Carolina, because they're on the same level, right? They don't storm the court on each other. And then there was a loss at Pitt earlier, and probably about 10 years ago, and Pitt famously doesn't rush the court either. They feel like they're, at that point, they felt like they were better than it. They didn't need to do that. So, but my point is, it's a common thing for Duke, and every night, every time they go on the road, it's a sold out arena. Having covered other programs, I covered some NC State for a part of the season a few years back, and I covered South Carolina before that, and it just didn't happen. I mean, all the years I was covering those games, you never saw a court storm. It's always the other way around. So that's the way it is. And so, yes, Duke, Carolina, Kansas, Kentucky, now Purdue, they're the ones that are impacted by this more than other teams.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, I want to get back to the incident that occurred on Saturday with Duke. You know, John Shire, you know, you clearly see he was upset after the game. Do you think there's something more that Shire could have done in that moment to try to protect his players? I know he's thinking about winning a basketball game in those moments. I totally understand that, but it almost seems like it's become another job for a coach to be thinking about and to have a plan in place when you're, you know, on the road. If an upset should occur, you know, it almost seems like you have to have a plan in place. So, you know, what's your take on that? Could Shire have done a little bit more to protect his guys on Saturday night?
He could have. The problem is they had the ball, you know, so they couldn't walk off the court and just leave the ball sitting there. Somebody had to inbound the ball, right? To end the game. And it was a 4-point game, and I see what he's thinking. Oh, if we can throw a pass down, maybe somebody will get fouled while they're shooting the 3-pointer. You don't want to give up on the game. I understand that line of thinking. There were other games this year at Arkansas that lost by 8. Okay, so in that situation, you didn't have to have the starters out there at all. You can have them go to the locker room. You can take the, you know, if Arkansas has the ball, just take your players and walk off the court. They don't have to be on the court while Arkansas is dribbling out the clock, and just let them have their celebration. Steve Forbes from Wake Forest, the coach at Wake, said he tried to signal to Shire, hey, get your guys out of here. You don't have to shake hands with us. I'm not going to be mad. I understand what you're going through here. This is going to be really dangerous. I can see it. So I think John will approach it differently now going forward after this happened with Kyle on Saturday. I think he'll certainly think about, you know, getting guys out of there to the locker room before the time is up.
Yeah, certainly Shire will do things a little bit differently. And I think this was kind of put all the coaches throughout the country, especially the ones who are affected by this the most, as we already spoke about, it's going to make them think a little bit more about, you know, having a plan, as I mentioned as well. Our guest this week on Ball Games and Beyond is Steve Wiseman, who is a Duke basketball beat writer for the Raleigh News and Observer. You know, we've heard from so many people in the mainstream media discussing the topic of court storming this week. Everyone from local talk show sports hosts to some of the more prominent analysts on ESPN. Everyone is weighing in on what they think should be done about this issue of court storming. Because you cover Duke on a daily basis, and you've been very close to this particular situation, I'm curious to get some of your thoughts on your position of court storming. So, we heard Shire come out and say he wanted it banned. Some other really, prominent coaches in college basketball, like Bill Self, he's also calling for immediate ban of court storming. What's your position on this?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fun when it happens. Okay, I mean, just as a rule, it's a cool environment. Again, I've seen it many times, and the place is excited. The home team's into it. It's really great for their fans and for their team and their program to get this win and celebrate it together. But let's not confuse that with you have to protect the officials and the visiting players and the kids, the home team fans that are storming too. They have to be protected. You want to put them in a situation where they can get hurt because, 2 or 3 seconds after a game ends or 5 seconds, there's a lot of emotion still going through the players' minds and hearts, right? So there were some incidents on Saturday where some of the Wake fans got up in the faces of a couple of Duke players, Jared McCain and Mark Mitchell, and they showed restraint and walked away. But that may not always happen. I mean, we could have a fan get hurt in that situation. So something has to be done to try to get the people off the court before it happens. And I know the fun of it is the spontaneity, how it's just boom, it's just they're out there. And I've seen some arenas where the security will have a rope. They'll try to angle the fans to get on the court in a certain area, maybe a corner of it, away from the bench. Other places where they put up ropes, the security guys link arms and stand right in front of the visiting team so the fans can't get access to them. Those are all really good ideas that people are doing, but there's no general rule. There's no best practices. We've got to come up with that.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes this conversation so interesting and controversial and divisive at the same time, is that there's so many different opinions on this issue. I mean, we heard Jay Billis this week say that he thought college students who charge the court could be arrested. Now, that might be a little bit extreme. The SEC has implemented a rule this year where they fine the home team that storms the court. That has not really deterred that from happening, at least in Florida. I think there's been 3 incidents where they I think it happened with Florida being on the receiving end of the fine. But it just really hasn't worked. I guess what I'm wondering is, Can they appease both sides of the argument? Can they protect players, coaches, officials, while at the same time allowing the fans and the students to have that experience of, rushing the court, which is a long-standing tradition in college sports? Can both be accomplished at the same time while improving on the current way things are done?
It's a difficult needle to thread. It really is, because let's say you implement a rule where you put ropes up all around the court and you say, we're going to count, we're going to time it out. We're going to wait 10 seconds. We're going to look to make sure everybody's off. And people are, think about all the energy of the fans that are going to crush up against that rope. And then when you release it, people are going to be running and tripping or as you're blocking them, they're going to pile up behind you and people could get hurt in that scenario. Right. So, that would be dangerous to the kids to hold them up. But that might be one of the things they have to do. And people will just know, okay, we're going to have to wait 10 seconds until everybody's gone, and then we're going to rush. And then the home team fans will go out there. I think at Kansas State, if I remember right, the coach there, Ting, has said that we're going to go into the stands. Like the players are going to go into the stands, kind of like the Lambeau Leap, right? So maybe that's a way to appease everybody. You can still have the celebration. Or maybe have an area where the fans can run to that's not on the court. Maybe it's only half the court instead of the whole court. I don't know. There's a lot of ideas that are being thrown out here.
Yeah, and to your point about Kansas State and Jerome Tang, I did read an article this week, in fact, where he implemented a couple of ideas when he got there last year, and I thought they were really good ideas. One of them being he told the student body that they would be given one court storming per year, and part of that, not only is it to prevent incidents like what we saw in Wake Forest, but he's also trying to, you know, bring a culture of winning, and that when we win big games, this is something that we're going to get used to doing. So I also did hear about him saying, you know, we're going to send our players into the stands to try to avoid the chaos on the court. So I too thought those were good ideas by him. And I just have one more kind of final question that I wanted to ask you about. Whether or not changes occur, right now it is unknown, but it does seem like this topic does have as much momentum as we have seen in a long time. So it does, you do kind of get the feeling that maybe something might come from this, especially when you think about some of the players, the high profile players that have been involved in these incidents recently. We had Caitlin Clark on the women's side of things just a couple of weeks ago. Now she's the face of women's basketball right now. You have another incident here involving Filipowski, who's a lottery pick probably in the draft should he decide to enter in a blue blood program like Duke. If these two incidents don't bring a change, Will there ever be a change? I mean, what will it take for the NCAA to realize that maybe enough is enough, and we've been flirting with this conversation for a long time, but now it's actually time to do something?
Right, because we haven't had a serious injury, right, from a player, these incidents. But you are talking about the highest profile player on the women's side, and maybe even all of college basketball, Caitlin Clark. Everybody knows who she is, right?
Right.
And then you got Duke, and again, a high-profile program that draws millions of viewers every year. So people pay attention to what happens with them. So it does seem like this is the time. And again, if it's not, then they're probably going to have to take somebody getting seriously injured and having a career-threatening injury or a season-ending injury, something of that nature. Sadly, if it doesn't happen now, but it sure feels like we've kind of reached a pressure point because all the commissioners are talking about it because of these incidents over and over again. And you mentioned in the SEC, LSU had one last week. South Carolina rushed on Kentucky, and then Kentucky lost to LSU, and LSU rushed on them, right? So it's happening on the regular. Something at Memphis where you had a player get pushed in the back. And now with video, with everybody having video cameras and everything, we're seeing more and more things that have happened that were probably happening before. We just didn't know about it. So again, these are all things that are creating more pressure to for calmer heads to get together and figure out how to solve this.
Absolutely. It's a great discussion, great debate, and we'll just have to wait and see here if something does crumb from all this. And Steve Wiseman, we appreciate your time. Please go out there and follow Steve on X at Steve Wiseman NC. Steve, we appreciate your time and keep up all your great work on the Duke beat.
Great, Evan. Thanks for having me on.